Hey, Potters! Welcome to episode 35 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome!
Hi, people!
After the madness that was last episode, hopefully most of you guys are still sticking with us. As
we went into train wreck territory on that one. That was kind of fun!
Oh, it was fun for us, and it was very productive for us.
Very productive!
Time, so.
I should have kept... I didn't even... Hindsight, yet again, I should have kept my Raven wig on the head form, because it's done now, and I can show everybody, hey, this is the thing I was working on last time, and it's back.
Oh. Yeah, the bow that I was working on is actually sitting diagonally from me in my doorway, because tomorrow I'm going to go out on my patio and sand it down. I didn't want to do it today, just because, one, it's still humid from all of the supposed rain we were going to get. So it didn't rain, it just misted. And it's
still
very,
freaking humid.
It's very humid and it's very windy, and I didn't want everything to just kind of blow back in my face, because winds are always from the south when I want to go outside and do stuff. Go figure. So it's sitting in the corner awaiting my attention while I sew and sew some more.
Amber's applique. She does not like
it. Oh my god. I will rant about that in the after session. I hate applique. I really do. Mostly because I can be an incredibly patient person, and I have very, very steady hands and very steady feet when it comes to the sewing machine pedal. However, sewing machines are not really built to applique around curves. They're really not. There's a physics reason behind that and all, but I'll rant about that later. The whole thing together is just combining into this like giant ball of hate that is still sitting on my crafting table awaiting my attention.
Giant ball of hate. That sounds like... I don't even know what it sounds like. It sounds like almost like a rat nest.
It's a gravity kind of black hole that sucks all of applique into it and just continues to suck everything. And that's my ball of hate. It continues to grow perpetually.
Applique is not that bad.
If you say so. You know, if it's not so bad, you're welcome to come over and do it for me.
That's fine, but you have to put the lining into my jacket.
I can do lining.
Okay. We'll trade off, because I don't mind doing applique. I like doing applique.
Yeah, but I'm almost done.
Yeah, I still have quite a bit of lining to
That defeats the purpose, you know. I'm kind of, like, almost there, so.
Yeah, you'd still have to put in two sleeves and, like, 1.5 panels for the lining.
Sleeves are not my friend. Sleeves are really not my friend.
I hate
doing
sleeves.
I can do them, but, you know, I don't like doing them. they're not a straight line. But I guess my whole world just kind of reduces down to I dislike curves.
Yeah. This is where being a man comes in handy, because they're just straight line down. You don't have to worry about curves. It's
theoretically,
fantastic.
Ma'am. Theoretically.
Every male costume that I have made so far has just been straight. They don't have to worry about anything. Life is not fair for women who want to cosplay. Not fair at all. And she's returning with something.
This is my science project, speaking of science. My gem is actually in here with the mold.
Oh! I was like, what the crap is that?
Well, see, I've had trouble getting... I'm trying to get the plaster off without grinding, because grinding gives it a really matte finish because the light can't reflect through it. So basically what you have to do is melt the plaster off of it without melting the gem itself. So I did some research on the internet! And apparently you can melt plaster very, very slowly. With baking soda and water.
And water.
Yeah. And it has been sitting here continually bubbling off, and the plaster does come off. It's just very, very slow. So I've been kind of alternating between baking soda baths and taking my rotary tool to it. But I have to be really careful with my rotary tool, because once I start seeing kind of a bluish sheen under the plaster, I have to stop so that I don't actually grind the finish on the gem.
And I'm kind of. Lovely.
It actually doesn't really have much of a smell to it.
Oh, good, because usually whenever I burn off plaster, well, not burn off, but at least melt off plaster,
it smells.
Tends to get...
It smells kind of vaguely like plaster, but baking soda in and of itself kind of has this nice antiseptic property that it absorbs smells, which is why they tell you to keep a box of baking soda in your fridge.
Fridge, yeah.
It's kind of like charcoal in that respect. So I'm guessing that it's probably absorbing a lot of the scent that would be coming off of this. Also, I've probably been doing a very bad thing, and listeners, do as I say, not as I do. I've been using my rotary tool underwater.
Which oh my god.
Which you probably should not do with an electric appliance. I mean, it's not like I'm not sitting in a bathtub like hair drying or anything like that. I'm not getting the cord anywhere near the water. I'm basically holding the thing underwater and then just kind of grinding and then letting it rinse and then grinding and letting it rinse. Lather, rinse, repeat. Or grind, rinse, repeat. So I've been just kind of, I guess, the equivalent of wet sanding my plaster down. I don't actually want to take sandpaper to it, but that's basically what I'm doing with a grinding stone. I'm basically wet sanding it.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm trying not to do it too much, at least the grinding part, because it is rather noisy. Rotary tools always are. And it's right next to my neighbor's kitchen wall. I mean, we share a wall, and they're not very soundproof. So I'm trying to be somewhat courteous. At least I'm not banging my plaster outside with a hammer on the concrete this time.
Not yet.
And actually, I do still have my old gem. I painted over it with some tester's enamel. I had some bright blue. So it's matte. It's not shiny. It's not transparent. It is matte. But if I need a backup stone, I have one now.
It's like you have a backup ready to go. It may not be perfect.
I may need it. If I can't get this one free of the mold, you know, I may have to use the backup. For as much as they say, you know, use all these different releases and it'll just pop out. Yeah, no. Nothing pops out of plaster, I swear to you. I have used Vaseline. I have used soap. I have used lacquer or varnish if you prefer. None of them work. I have used coconut oil, too, which is basically the equivalent of any sort of cooking oil or any sort of, like, Pam sort of stuff. None of it works. Why? Because the plaster absorbs it. That is why.
They say that
the plaster is dry after 3 days, but, you know, plaster still absorbs stuff after 3 days. And I did not lacquer the mold this time, simply because I didn't want to have this little tiny sliver coating of plaster on my gem that I couldn't get off because it was lacquered. Because, yeah, that stuff does not exactly like dissolve in water. But plaster itself does, so I had to leave off the varnish on the mold this time.
It's one of those things where, I swear, I think it's just a resin property. Because even when I'm using, like, the rubber silicone mold, which you should think would just be like, pop out. Oh, done. It's there to go. No, it still gets stuck to the freaking silicone rubber mold. So it's like, it's a never-ending thing with resin. Whereas when I've done it with liquid latex and rubber latex, no problems. Those pop off of all my molds, even the plaster molds. I don't even have to use baby powder for that sucker. So it's a resin thing, and resin sucks like that.
Yeah, I noticed that resin is extraordinarily tacky even after the given dry time. It's still, I mean, even if you mix it exactly the way they tell you to, and I very, very explicitly followed instructions, it's still tacky, and I have a feeling it has to do with Texas humidity, for one. Because
that does not help.
It's perpetually humid out here. It really is. Even when it's 90 degrees outside, it's still pretty darn humid. And in my apartment, it's also humid unless I want to run the air conditioner 24/7 and have a massive bill. But I don't want to break the mold off either, which apparently is what you're supposed to do with plaster if you want a single-use mold. You just kind of...
Yeah.
Plaster is notoriously hard to break. Properly.
Properly?
I mean, you can always, you know, like, put force on it and it'll come off in little pieces and shards. But one, it will take you forever to do that to get to your thing that's inside. And two, you also kind of fling plaster everywhere. And three, you know, you may not even be able to break the whole mold that way. So even if you take a hammer to it and crack it down the middle, you run the risk of breaking your item. So it's like a no-win.
My favorite thing to do, and I should not do this, but it's funny. No, it's funny as crap when I do this, is that I'll stand up on a step stool ladder and I'll just drop it onto concrete. It breaks it out of the mold. What I know whatever's inside is not going to get damaged when I do it like that, so it's okay. It's a one-time use only, so hey. Let it shatter.
I have yet to damage any of my items by getting them out of the plaster. I'm not worried about damaging the item.
You haven't been doing the clear shine like you've been wanting it to.
Yeah, I want it to be transparent, or at least really close to it, and I want it to have a shiny finish and not a matte finish, which is what you get by grinding. Although I may end up having to do that, you know, what are you going to do? I'm kind of running out of time, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's
the problem.
Like 5 weeks away.
Exactly. That's the problem with cosplay deadlines and complex cosplay, is that you don't really have time to make mistakes because you don't really have time to fix them.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Even if you spend 2 years on a costume, you'll find something that goes wrong like the week before the convention and you have to fix it.
Yes, something will always go wrong, and then something will also go wrong when you try and fix it.
Oh, God, yes.
So, you know, at the same time, it's like, well, I mean, you're not going to be perfect, but you kind of try to be perfect just so that you don't have to fix the mistakes.
Yep.
Which is what I've been... Oh, hi! Shinigami Desu's here.
Oh, hey!
I've been trying to do that on my applique, and for the first strip, it actually worked. I didn't make any mistakes on the inside curves, probably because there weren't very many curves. I just don't have time to rip apart all the stitches and fix them. I really don't. I ripped out one time. One time I have had to rip out stitches, and I only ripped out, I think, 8, because I overshot. And that was it. And that took forever, because it's when your stitches are so close together, it's very hard to pick them apart without just taking manicure scissors and... Which is much more satisfying, I must say.
Isn't it?
I'm actually... Speaking of satisfying, I'm really tempted to... douse my plaster mold in acetone.
Oh my god! That would break it up!
Well, not necessarily.
It's on fire!
It wouldn't necessarily do much, because supposedly heat helps a plaster cure because it makes the water evaporate. So it would just harden my plaster all over again.
You can always find a way to set something on fire, trust me.
Oh, you can. Acetone is also highly evaporative, so it wouldn't be on fire very long.
Be a pretty awesome fireball, though.
It wouldn't be. It would be kind of the equivalent of when you go into a restaurant and they give you the pudding flambé, where they just kind of light the surface of it on fire because they put a little bit of alcohol on top, and the alcohol burns off really quickly. But you just kind of get this nice effect for a few, maybe a minute, a few seconds. That's what I would get. I'd get the equivalent of a few seconds of fire, my smoke alarm would go off, and then it would burn itself out. And then my neighbors would be mad at me.
Yep.
And it would smell terrible in my apartment for the next few hours.
I think we need to do a science experiment.
Oh, God.
For science!
I do a lot of things for science. I mean, come on, I have a petri dish full of baking soda, water, and plaster, and resin, so. No fire just yet.
Yet.
I still have another cut. I basically have until the end of the month to try and get this out of the mold, and if that doesn't work, I'm not going to have time to get it out of the mold. I'm not going to finish my costume by the end of the month, which is what I'd hoped, but no. The applique is taking so long, I'm not going to be able to do it.
Poor Amber. I'm sorry. Sad face.
Yeah, well, in 2 weeks I have finals again, so.
Yeah.
It's a never-ending thing. I'm probably not going to end up doing Erza for Akon. I really wanted to do Erza for Akon. I even bought the wig. But I'm just not going to have time. I'm really not. If I want to do a quality job, you know, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
People can really experienced people can whip through a costume in like a week. Really experienced people who don't have daytime jobs can do it in like a day.
Yeah.
But when you have a daytime job
and you go to class
and you're not quite as experienced enough to be able to whip through it because you know what you're doing that fast, yeah, it just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. I suck.
No, you don't suck. You're a human being. I mean,
I'm a human being with a schedule.
Exactly. I mean, I look at my Raven costume, and it's like the leotard and the cape, I got done in no time, because for me, I can do that in my sleep. But it'd take me freaking forever to get the freaking gems in her belt done and her wig. I mean, good God, if I did not have to go to class and I didn't have a job, it would have been done well within a week. But no, it's taking me a good month to get the freaking thing done. And it's not that difficult. It's an easy costume. It's just, if I want it to look right, if I want it to be correct, and I want it to look nice, I'm going to take my time and make it look like it's supposed to look. I mean, being an adult sucks.
Well, I mean, it's not just being an adult. It's being adult.
That's part of the problem. I'm sorry. No, no, no. I had more free time when I was in high school with all my extracurricular activities. I have no free time now.
Oh, I had less. I have more free time now than I did in high school.
I do even less stuff in college, and I'm working on a freaking PhD, but still, I do less now, and I have no free time.
I think that's part of your problem.
I should just stop going to school. Screw it.
I'm already looking at what to sign up for in fall.
Yeah, well, you have to.
Well, they already started sign-ups.
Next week, actually, I have to do that.
Yep.
So much to look forward to!
I know. Yeah, well, you know,
let's a positive, happier note. Do we have any other cosplay updates? Anything that we have completed?
I don't think I've actually completed much of anything. Everything is just kind of waiting to be completed all at once. I mean, I have things in various stages of completion. I just don't have anything that's 100% yet. I'd love to. I'm trying really, really hard to. With luck, if I keep working between now and basically when I go to bed tonight and leave myself a little time for dinner, I should have at least the tunic mostly done on my costume. And if I'm really ambitious, I may have the wing cover sewn.
Hopefully. I mean, I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. You'll get it done. You'll find a way to get it done.
Eventually I will get it done. It's just a matter of when and how much sleep do I get.
Sleep? What is the sleep that you speak of?
It's a mandatory necessity for somebody who's going to school.
Right.
If I expect to get an A, I have to be able to sleep, because otherwise I can't study.
Nah.
Alright, so first shout out to CosCast for tackling this topic, because they actually did a really good episode on it. So if you'd like to listen to their take, you can go to Nerd Reactor's website and find their podcast there. I believe it's their most recent podcast that they covered this on. But we wanted to, of course, give you guys the chance to chime in on the topic of cosplay is not consent. Val, do you want to explain kind of what that means?
Yeah, since it kind of stumbled in unintentionally at PAX East where I attended. It's so weird. The long and short of it is somebody had started this gathering at PAX East for the new Lara Croft Tomb Raider game. A reporter, and I'm going to use that term lightly, came up to them during the gathering, wanted to ask them a couple of questions. They said, yeah, sure, no problem. The question seemed pretty normal enough, and then eventually they started getting to be kind of inappropriate and dirty and vulgar. Eventually to the point where the person who was holding the meetup told this reporter that they needed to leave, and PAX East was behind them, removing that person out from the convention center, and they're not allowed back again. So another group came together and decided, you know what, we need to start doing this movement called Cosplay is Not Consent, where they would go to a convention, they'll have a little sign that says, you know, cosplay is not consent. And just kind of let people know, you, hey, just because we're in a costume, it doesn't mean that it's okay for you to come up to us, to hug us, to try to grope us and all that not so cool stuff. And over the past couple of weeks, it's really kind of exploded online. I've seen a lot of videos about it, a lot of blog posts about it. I know that there's a couple of male perspectives about it. So I thought it was kind of important for CosPod to talk about it. I know from our perspective, I don't think we haven't really been involved in any type of harassment situations, maybe uncomfortable situations, but nothing to prompt or to warrant us to be like, whoa, okay, we need to get the police involved. But it's definitely something that I think would be interesting for us to talk about. So
basically, we wanted to chat a little bit about, you know, etiquette at conventions, especially when it comes to cosplaying and cosplayers, not just from the cosplayer's perspective, but just from a general attendee sort of perspective when you come across a cosplayer. And more or less, I guess, kind of what it boils down to is being in costume doesn't give people the liberty to treat you however they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds kind of trite, but when you look at it, cosplaying is sort of a form of bringing characters to life, right? And we're not actually becoming those characters. That would be very scary. And I have had some very weird dreams of that happening to me. But in real life, in reality, that does not actually happen. And because of that, people shouldn't necessarily treat you like you are actually that character.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that that actually entails kind of go with it. So if you see somebody who happens to be cosplaying a more revealing character, let's say, there are many, many examples. I won't even go into that. But
there are too many to name.
There are many examples in anime literature, particularly when it comes to the female gender. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you should wolf whistle at them. That doesn't mean you should try and touch them, particularly female cosplayers who are wearing revealing outfits.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you should make lewd comments or ask lewd questions. Because, I mean, even if you know that person, you know, people have a certain reputation in public that they're trying to keep, and something that they're trying, a certain persona they're trying to present to the public. And you can't really assume anything. I guess that's kind of my summary in my box. You can never assume. I know that I've actually had a personal experience with this where, oh, we have a second viewer. Hi.
Hey, yay, cool.
Although it may also be her on her iPad. But I have been dressed as a character from Avatar The Last Airbender at Anime Fest a couple of years ago. And for some reason, somebody took this as license that they could glomp me. Randomly, to some person I did not know, real big gentleman, just came and, you know, did the whole tackle hug thing. Which, for those who don't know what glomping is, it's effectively a tackle hug. It's somebody basically jumping onto you and then giving you a hug.
Yeah, it squeezes the life out of you and it hurts.
Yeah, it could be from the front, it could be from behind. I mean, there is really no other parameter besides tackle hug. And I did not appreciate it. I really do not like strangers touching me, especially without asking me first. And usually if people are going to glomp you, they don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
If they hug you, they may or may not ask. Generally at conventions has been my experience. But if they're going to glomp you, generally they're running towards you at a pretty good rate of speed. They're not going to have time to ask you. So they don't feel
a need to ask you. They see that you're their favorite character and, oh my god, I need to hug this person.
Right. And one, they need to ask first. I mean, yes, if you want to give them permission and then they can back up 10 feet for a running start, you know, that's your prerogative. If that's what you really want to do. But they really need to ask first, because not only did it make me feel really uncomfortable, having some random guy run up and tackle hug me.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have damaged my cosplay had it not been foam armor, which is why I make most of my armor very flexible so that it cannot be broken when stupid people do stupid things. And it will happen at a convention.
Hindsight.
Yes. Well, I was never
or foresight.
I was never more glad to have foam armor at that point than when that guy tackled me. So he could have broken my cosplay. And, you know, if I had had a medical condition, he could have actually seriously hurt me. Because there are people who have spinal implants. And you can't necessarily tell that from just looking at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the point of having some of the implants, is you're not supposed to be able to tell. They're supposed to be, like, able to live normal lives as much as they can. So that's something you cannot assume about somebody, is that they're a perfectly healthy person. I mean, for all you know, they may have osteoporosis, and you may literally break their bones just by, you know, touching them the wrong way. Another reason that you may wish to ask is that if somebody is starting to feel sick and you touch them and you spread the Gauntlet around, people are not going to be very happy with you.
You are going to be patient zero.
Well, no, because the person who got sick was technically patient zero.
Okay, you'll be patient one.
Yes, if you are patient one, if you are the one who actually spreads this stuff around and this gets out, you are probably not going to be the star of the con.
Far from it.
So, yeah, about that. Don't be the person who spreads concrete. I guess it basically reduces to that. So, just don't touch people without asking them first. I guess is what I'm saying. Well, whether it's tackle hugging, I mean, whether it's kissing, you may see somebody dressed as a really attractive cosplayer. And you may want to do, I guess, what people call fan service.
Yeah.
And some people are okay with that, just because it's what their character might do. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can just walk up and do it. Nor
yeah,
should
that,
you.
I don't understand those. And the only time I've seen that happen has been with, like, good friends. So, like, friends who know each other and they know that they were going to do that anyway, understandable. My whole thing is that when you're going to a convention, the rules of social conduct do not cease to exist the moment that you step inside those doors. If you can't do it outside in public, you cannot do it inside any convention center. So if it's not okay to grope someone outside, it is not okay to do it inside a convention center. It's as simple as that.
I also wanted to address a little bit about the lewd questions thing, just because I know a while ago that there was somebody who was trying to do interviews with cosplayers.
Yeah, they tried circling it up maybe about a month ago, because I put the warning back out on our Facebook page again about it. Somebody was pretending to be cosplay.com and getting people to go up on Skype and ask all these questions about them. And at the end of the interview, they'll have like this question and answer session and be like, you could win this really cool prize, or you could win a gaming system if you just do this quick Q&A. And, okay, sure. And apparently if you got an answer wrong, they wanted you to actually remove a piece of your clothing. And it's just like, oh, what? 180? No?
And a lot of times that is the first reaction you have. It's just kind of like, what?
What? Yeah.
And
you don't know how to react to it.
Exactly. You'll have that moment of shock that you can't even process how you should respond to that.
Exactly.
And so basically, one of the things that you kind of have to do is think about these situations in advance and just think about, you know, if it happened, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
So that at least this way you kind of have something in the back of your mind that you've thought about it before and that this is what you probably should do. I mean, even if it's not necessarily what you should say, just what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, you should prepare as if these situations will happen at a con, but you should never have to expect that it will happen. nor should you have to live with it. You should not just have to deal. And I think that's one of the things that I disagreed with in some of the comments on that YouTube video about this, is that a lot of the perception is, these things are going to happen at a con, you just have to deal. No, you don't. You do not have to accept people doing these things to you, because the only way that we're going to change the culture is to actually change how people perceive these things and change how people react to them. If you expect that it's going to happen, people are trained to try and fulfill your expectations. That's how we're taught in school. If you are supposed to expect an A out of somebody, they're going to try and make an A. Mm-hmm. You have to meet that expectation. So if you expect somebody's going to glomp you and act like that, they're probably going to be more apt to do it, because they'll take that as permission. Because you're expecting it, because you're open to it happening, therefore they must think, well, she's expecting it, I gotta do it.
And that's part of how the Cosplay Is Not Consent movement began. It's because too many people are expecting it to happen, therefore it is happening. And that should never be the case. And especially in our situation where, I mean, as women, if we're standing there and something's happening to us and we're still in the process of, like, what the crap is going on? I cannot comprehend this. The idea is that other people who are around you, who see that you're in trouble, should take action as well. Should be able to step in and say, guys, this is not cool, stop what you're doing, or we're going to report you to security. So it's not just upon the cosplayer to take care of themselves, but other people to be aware of their surroundings and to help out where necessary. And I think that's another thing, too, that's kind of getting lost in this, in getting muddled with a lot of these blogs and YouTube videos. I know one that I linked to you that was very profane, in a very humorous way, made it out to be like cosplayers feel like we're privileged and that we should get all this special treatment. Well, no, I don't think of myself as privileged. Almost everyone that I talk to as a cosplayer does not think of themselves as privileged, but just because we're in costume doesn't give you the right to accost us and to assault us. We have the right to be a human being and to dress what we want. I'm sure I'm going to have people staring at me in a lot of weird ways. I understand that. That doesn't give them the right to come up to me and to be rude to me or to make lewd remarks towards me. So if I'm ever in that type of situation and I'm uncomfortable, I will say something. If they don't stop, I'm immediately reporting them to security. Or if somebody else sees that I'm in trouble, I hope that they have enough courage to help me out and stand up and say, hey, that's not right, we're going to security. So that's really what it comes down to, is people just being aware of their situation and taking that step out and making the change. And I know that's kind of hard to do, too, because, I mean, standing up for yourself is not easy. It is ridiculously difficult. When you're faced in those type of odds, growing a backbone that very second is nerve-wracking. Because I know I'm just now growing my own freaking backbone. In the past couple of months, I'm finally getting to the point where I feel comfortable enough to tell someone no right then and there and walking them to security and be like, hi, deal with these people over here. They'll tell you why that's not right. So it's a lot of not just cosplayers taking care of themselves, but other people being aware that, you know, just because it's happening, it doesn't make it right. Everyone needs to take responsibility and help each other out.
Also, it's one of those situations where you shouldn't necessarily assume somebody doesn't want the attention just because they're getting it. They may have actually asked somebody to say, you know, do this pose for a photo.
Mm-hmm.
But it never hurts to ask, hey, is everything okay?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You may not necessarily want to go, hey, leave her alone or I'm going to call security, because that just may not be the most appropriate way to handle a situation. But there is no shame in asking, you know, hey, is everything cool? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And realistically, cosplayers should not take offense at you asking that. Because they should,
never.
You know, they should be aware in and of themselves that you're trying to be helpful, you're trying to make sure that they're okay. And they should seriously not take offense just to you asking, hey, is everything cool? You know, the worst they'll say is, yeah, everything's fine, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
And that's really all you need. If they say that, then you can just walk away. But if they say, no, this person's bothering me, then you kind of have the obligation to at least find them help. That does not mean you should necessarily try and help them yourself, because that may actually aggravate the situation. But that is what Con Security is for. I mean, that's why we're paying all these registration dollars, is for, you know, partially for the staff that goes to work these cons, so that, you know, you can feel safe at whatever convention you go to, even though you may be dressed in a costume. And this honestly goes for photos too.
Oh yeah.
Being in cosplay does not necessarily mean that everybody can take a picture of you whenever they want doing whatever you're doing. Because a lot of cosplayers, well, one, they're human, but two, they have to eat too. They have to use the restroom once in a while. You know, they have to sit down and relax, and that may involve taking off parts of their cosplay so they can just kind of de-stress, decompress. And usually when that happens, cosplayers do not want you taking pictures of them doing those things. Most of the time, unless they're specifically doing it for a photo shoot. But that doesn't necessarily give you license to just go up and randomly take their picture. You're supposed to ask first. And I admit that in the past that I have done the drive-by photo thing as a photographer. And I feel very ashamed of that. And I don't do it anymore. So I'm, you know, giving my advice from experience to you. Most cosplayers will get upset when you take pictures of them in what they consider to be a compromising position.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, ask first. If they tell you no, don't push it. Just come back later. Or, you know, maybe you'll see them again sometime at the con in that costume. Or maybe they will tell you, hey, I'm eating, come back in 30 minutes and I'll be happy to give you a photo when I'm done eating. But ask first before you take a photo. And especially if you're looking for a certain pose, be prepared that the cosplayer may tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
And cosplayers, you have the right to tell them no.
Because no is always an option.
You know, some people are fans of certain parts of anime, and they may want a particularly compromising pose from you, or they may want fan service from you, that if you're not prepared to give it, you have every right in the world to say no. Especially when you have to consider the fact that chances are, after the convention, whatever photos you give people are going to show up for all of the world to see, literally on the internet somewhere, including your boss, including your family, including your friends. Just know that the potential is there. I mean, you can't necessarily control where photos end up on the internet. That's the internet. But, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with that notion, with everybody in the world being able to see this photo of you, then say no, and don't feel ashamed in saying no. Because, you know, like, I don't want my boss seeing me in some sort of fan service, even though I may dress as characters that stories have been written with fan service. That's not something I want the world to see, so I tell people no. I'm not comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no shame in that. So, you know, cosplayers, if somebody is doing something that you dislike, say no. There's no shame in doing it. You don't have to be rude about it. You don't have to sit there and go, hell no, not in a million years, and call them a name and walk away. No, you don't have to be rude about it. Because then you give the rest of cosplayers a bad name. But you can be polite about it.
Say no, move on.
Exactly. Just say no. Say you're uncomfortable. Thank them or say, I appreciate your offer, and then just go.
Keep on walking.
Yeah. Now, that said, I guess we should probably address skimpy cosplay.
I'll be wearing one in a couple of weeks. Yay. God.
Skimpy cosplay, like all cosplay, does not imply consent, even though it is skimpy. Yes, there will be hormonal people there who I'm sure will get fantasies in their head, who will get urges, who will want to see and say and do certain things. That doesn't mean they can do it, even though it may seem like you are inviting it. I mean, that's unfortunately just the nature of anime and animation in general, and just kind of movies. It's these are fictitious characters. They're not real life characters. So yes, they may wear skimpy clothing, but that doesn't, you know, whenever somebody dresses like that, they don't just become that character and then you can treat them like you would in the video game or movie or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or in your dreams at night. I mean, they're just trying to do justice to that character. Just, they may like the character. And that's okay. They're allowed to like that character, even though they may wear skimpy clothing. That doesn't mean anything. It just means that they like the character. It doesn't mean that they're inviting you to do stuff.
Right.
So, since you will be wearing one of those shortly.
I don't know. I don't know if Raven counts as skimpy, but man, my legs are going to be out there more than I've ever done before. It's going to be creepy for me.
And I mean, even when you have costumes that show your legs, because I have a few that also show mine. It's not something where you should just sit there and judge that person by their appearance and how
absolutely.
Like or unlike they're that character, because, you know, as much as you may like a character, some of these people may have serious body issues. I mean, I fully admit that I've got body image issues. And
we all do. Look, my hand is going to be raised for the rest of this because I know I do. It is not going down.
I mean, you making fun of somebody just because they're wearing a costume that may or may not fit what you perceive to be their body shape, I mean, that may have an even greater impact on that person than you realize. And we've seen kind of the effects of bullying in this country, especially recently. And I won't go into those because they're not directly cosplay related. But doing something to that person just because they're in a cosplay that may show arms or legs or belly or chest, that is bullying.
Oh, absolutely.
And to be very blunt, it's not acceptable at cons. Bullying is never acceptable. But it's not acceptable at a con just because it's a con and not real life. Or because the person is in a costume instead of regular clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never acceptable, just being very blunt. If you want to give somebody constructive criticism about a costume, that's different. And you may wish to ask that person first. In fact, I highly suggest asking that person first if they are willing to take
Please ask
criticism.
First, otherwise it comes off as very rude and flippant. I will not lie. It's very condescending if you don't ask first.
And some people may not want to have constructive criticism at all. I mean, some people may simply like their costume the way it is. They're not going to change it. And they really don't care what you think. Therefore, they really don't want you to tell them about it. Which, that is their prerogative, and you need to respect it. I mean, I know it's being very blunt, but simply put,
it's true.
You know?
I mean, a lot of the things that we're talking about, it seems so obvious because it's like, okay, if I can't do this in the real world, why the heck would I be allowed to do this at a convention? But it really, a lot of it is people just think that as soon as you hit those convention doors that everything goes out the window, you can do whatever you want. And it's like, no, it's really not. And I know that we're still talking about such a small minority, but we're at the point now where we're seeing it more and more often that it's becoming a problem. And it should never be a problem. We should always have the right to say no. We should always have the right to turn somebody in if we think that they're acting inappropriately. We should be able to, I mean, we need to be able to take care of ourselves and take care of everybody else at the convention. So it just seems like obvious rules that should not be broken, but they are.
And if at any time these people are shown that it's okay to do this, they will continue doing it, and other mm-hmm. people will see it as an example, and that's why the problem is getting worse. Is because basically we're not stopping it fast enough. And I don't say we as cosplayers. I mean we as convention goers in general. If you see something like this happening and apathy causes you to just turn the other cheek and walk away, not only have you allowed that incident to happen, but that person will probably do it again, because if they do it once, it's probably a habit for them. But also, somebody else who may be watching, who has similar inclinations, may see that that's okay, that nothing happened to them, and then they'll go and do it too. And then they'll serve as an example for other people. So You know, even though it's just one incident, if there's witnesses, that's all it takes. You know, it's one of those things. So if you see something like this happening, you know, we gotta stop it. We gotta stop it from happening. And if we stop enough of them from happening, then other people will get the message. And that's what we need to do.
Ding on the nose, right there. That's a good place to end up, except I want to add one teeny, easy, meeny little thing. We aren't just talking about men hitting on female cosplayers. I mean, this also includes male cosplayers. This is, you know, women hitting on male cosplayers or women getting hit on by other women cosplayers. You know, it's for both genders, it's for all sexualities, all religions. This involves everybody. So even though we're speaking from a female perspective, I do know that there are male cosplayers who face the same situation.
And there are cross players too.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
this
I'm
actually kind of
freaking
goes
out that
double.
I'm going to be Alan from Escaflowne because I am fully aware that I may be assaulted and glommed by a lot of women, and thank God I will have my boyfriend with me.
It's not even just that. If you think about it, for cross players, people may look, and if you do a good enough job, they will want to touch and they will want to ask what gender you
Yes.
are. And that can be really uncomfortable for some people because they'll want to actually see if it's real or if you're real. And if you are uncomfortable with that, then you know, don't let it happen. Tell them no. You know, body language actually says a lot. So if you have to cross your arms in front of yourself and back away, then do. You know, cosplay is still cosplay. It still counts. You still are not necessarily giving permission just by being in cosplay for these people to treat you however they want to treat you. So, I mean, granted, this also goes for people that are not in cosplay. It just seems to happen a little more often to those who are,
Yeah.
because people want to see you as the character and not as the human being wearing the costume of the character.
You can understand why I'm a little freaked out about cross-playing for the first time, because I picked a very pretty man that a lot of girls like. So, yeah.
Well,
Arms will be out like this the entire time. No. Uh-uh.
you
X
have
me.
fun with
No
that.
way. I'll be
You
pissed if
enjoy
they.
that.
I'll be pissed if they break one of my jewelry things as I just finished them and they took a while.
At any
Yes,
rate.
it really is. It's even though we're speaking from a female perspective, it is important to know that men are also experiencing the same thing. So just keep open eyes, open mind, be aware of your surroundings, and it's okay to say no. No is a good word. No is not the enemy.
Yep, don't
Cookies
give
are the
none, don't
enemy.
take none.
There we go.
At any rate, do we want to do the next segment or close it off here? Because it's just
I say
about
we
done
close
and
it out
over.
here because we're going to have some fun ranting today.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we are. So,
Yay!
with that said, we are going to close out this episode 35 of CosPod. Please remember to join our contest. Our trivia contest is still going for about another 2 weeks. It's until May 12th. You can find the details on our homepage at cospod.org, and I will, of course, be updating that today or tomorrow, whenever I have time. But yes, do participate in the contest. You will be entered in the raffle for an Epic Cosplay $10 gift card. Also, please feel free to contact us on our social media if you have any feelings or feedback about Cosplay is Not Consent or Cosplay in general.
Put the bar there. Okay.
Also, I have had all of my panels finalized for Project Akon,
Yay.
and we will be allowed to give out those times. I will be giving those out next episode, so keep an eye out
Okay.
on those. We will also be, excuse me, filming all of the panels that we can at Akon, as well as all the events. So there will be a ton of coverage when we head out there in about a month. So keep your eye on our YouTube channel. As fast as we can process the videos, we will get them up there. So there's a ton to look forward to in the next couple of weeks.
I am already
So.
exhausted thinking about it since I'll have three back to back to back.
Yes, so with that, we will see you next time, viewers.
Bye, people.
Gosspot out.
Warp speed, Mr. Sulu.
Maybe not warp speed. Maybe like warp 5.
Okay, warp 5 is good.
That's good enough.